When King Charles I came to the throne in 1625, he believed, as did many monarchs before him, in the divine right of kings, an idea that God had placed him on the throne, and therefore all decisions to be made when it came to the running of the country were his to make alone. However, Parliament, which had existed in one form or another for nearly three centuries at that point, disagreed. Parliament insisted that Charles had to go through the legal parliamentary system to do things like raising taxes or declaring war on other countries. Routinely, Charles would ignore Parliament and go about his business, raising taxes and attempting to declare war on other countries entirely on his own. This led to huge struggles of power between the king and Parliament that went on, like a tug of war, for years. Finally, the struggle for power escalated and came to a head in 1641. A group of five MPs gathered together and wrote up a document called the Grand Remonstrance, which was essentially a long letter of everything the king was doing that they disagreed with. The letter was then circulated throughout the country, with a copy making its way into the hands of the king himself. Charles was furious and stormed down into Parliament, bursting into the chamber of the House of Commons while they were in session. As Charles didn't recognize any member of Parliament, having avoided them as much as possible, he couldn't identify the authors of the remonstrance from the crowd of politicians sitting in the chamber. The king drew his sword and demanded that the speaker, William Lenthal, who was in charge of the Commons, point out who was responsible for creating the Grand Remonstrance. Famously, Lenthal got up out of his seat and bowed in front of the king, saying, quote, "May it please your majesty, I have neither eyes to see nor tongue to speak in this place, but as this house is pleased to direct me, whose servant I am here. And I humbly beg your majesty's pardon that I cannot give any other answer than this is to what your majesty is pleased to demand of me." Charles was so surprised that Lenthal would defy him in such a manner that he grumbled and retreated out of the chamber. That afternoon, he gathered his supporters, traveled to Nottingham, and there officially raised an army and declared a war on Parliament. The civil war between the Royalists, those supporting the king, and the Roundheads, those supporting the Parliamentarian forces, lasted for 7 years and was exceptionally bloody and brutal. It is estimated that 10% of the country's population was killed on the battlefield during the war. And it all came to an end in 1648 when Charles, having suffered multiple crushing defeats throughout the country, was captured and arrested by Parliament. King Charles was from then on referred to only as Charles Stuart and was forced to undergo a humiliating public trial. He was charged with treason, the act of betraying one's country. This claim was brought against him as Parliament agreed that as king, it was Charles's duty to protect the people of his country. And he had betrayed them by leading them into an unnecessary civil war where tens of thousands of them would be killed. And considering it was Parliament who defeated him on the battlefield, and Parliament who were also conducting the trial, it's not surprising to hear that, of course, they found him guilty, and the punishment for treason is death. So, on the 29th of January, 1649, Charles Stuart was taken to St. James's Palace for his final evening alive. On the morning of the 30th, Charles was put into a cart drawn by mules through the street for all the public to see. Crowds of thousands had turned up to jeer him as he was paraded through the streets, and many people followed his cart, cheering as he was taken to his final destination. Charles was taken to the Palace of Whitehall, and just here, outside Banqueting House, a scaffold had been erected, and waiting on top of the scaffold was an executioner with an axe. As it was January and quite cold, Charles requested that he be allowed to wear two shirts as he stepped onto the scaffold. He was afraid that he would shiver in the cold air, and the public would mistake that for weakness or terror at what he was about to face. His wish was granted, and wearing both shirts, King Charles stepped out of the window that you see above the door of the banqueting house onto the scaffold that was erected here. On the 30th of January, 1649, at exactly 2 p.m., the axe fell, and Charles Stuart was beheaded by his own government, all in front of a crowd of thousands who had come to watch the execution of a king. We commemorate Charles's execution here in one of the smallest memorials in all of London. If you look at the clock on top of the Horse Guards building, you will notice that next to the number 2, there's a small black mark. This mark is the lasting testimony to the fact that it was at 2 p.m. here that Charles I was executed all those centuries ago, and it is the bust of King Charles that sits above the doorway of Banqueting House, forever gazing upon the site where he met his untimely end. Now, walk back through the archway into Horse Guards Parade, and then play the next clip. Despite the fact that this courtyard is named after the Horse Guards, there are many buildings here that have nothing to do with the Household Cavalry. Facing the archway you came through, to your back left is a large concrete building covered in vines. This is the Citadel, a World War II bunker built to be right in between Buckingham Palace and the Houses of Parliament. Although never used during the war, today it has an important role as a communication center of the Admiralty. Moving along, the long building with the 2 green domes to the right of that is Admiralty House, previously used by the Navy, but today being used by various governmental departments. Now, facing the arch and looking to your right, you'll see huge white stone buildings going down the road. These are governmental buildings, places like the Home Office, the Foreign Office, and the Treasury. We'll be walking along those buildings in a few moments so you can get a closer look. But first, you will see between where you are standing and those large white buildings, there's a brown brick fence with barbed wire on the top and brick houses just behind it. You will also see 2 armed police officers with automatic weapons. Despite that potentially imposing view, walk closer to that wall, then play the next clip.